The Five Rings Podcast, Road to Tokyo on the Sport Podcasting Network. Your weekly fix leading up to the 2020 Olympic Games with Dwayne Rollins and Kevin Larame. Follow us and listen to us live on Twitter at Five Rings Podcast and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Sports Podcasting Network for more content.
And good day, good night. Welcome to the Five Rings Podcast. The rumors of our demise were greatly exaggerated. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, how you doing, Dwayne?
We're back.
We are back. Road to Tokyo, leading up to the 2020 Olympic Games. Our fourth Olympic Games together, Dwayne, already.
It is. This was, for those that don't know the history of Kevin and I, this is the original show that started the Sports Podcasting Network, which evolved into many different directions over the years. But it all started with this. It is now currently going to be a fixture back again. It's my baby show. It's my show that I always wanted. This is how I met Kevin. I actually put a tweet out where I just said, I want to do a podcast on the Olympics. And Kevin responded. And within 24 hours, I was sitting in my bedroom with an iPad balanced on a wine glass. And I was talking into that wine glass. If you want to go way back in our archives, you can listen to that show. The sound quality's a tad different. But we talked about the Sochi Olympics, and that's where it all started. And it's very easy for us to remember our anniversary that way because we started it the first day of the Sochi Olympics. Yeah. So lots of fun. It was we did a live show of the opening ceremonies. We've done that a few times. When we do the games, we tend to go with a gold, silver, bronze, and wood medal format where we name our top three performances and one disappointing performance of the day. In between the games, which we are now, obviously, we count them up to where we're going, and we talk about general Olympic and amateur sport news. Kevin, it's a lot of fun. We're glad to be back. I love this show, so I'm glad it's back, and that's why we never quite gave up. We just had to find the time, finally. Here we are.
Exactly. Yay. And we'll be there weekly until the beginning of the 2020 Olympic, and that's what's actually I'm excited about. Is for once we have time. The Olympics are not just going to creep up on us weekly, and even before the beginning of the games, we'll go daily, and we go daily during the games. And because of the time differences between where we are, I'm in Montreal, if you don't know. This is the first time you discover us on the Five Rings Podcast. Dwayne is in Toronto, and those three straight games in Asia gives us we know what we're going to do. It's exactly like Pyeongchang, so when the day finishes at around 9, 10 a.m. our time, we get together, we record the show, and we do the show live, and we put it out, recapping the day, giving the medals of the day, and also going deep into the topics of each day, controversies, if there's some and others. So it's going to be fun, and we have time to look and to look at the dates, to look at which events are exciting, to look at the venues. The venues are going to be spectacular, and to look at the technical, technological as well, innovations coming into the games. It will be a topic of conversation leading up to Tokyo, and that is becoming fascinating to me. Just looking at the games, looking at the new Olympic Stadium, the Budokan, a famous pro wrestling, karate, and sumo arena will be the place for karate and judo tournament. That's going to be spectacular. The more I get some knowledge and information about those games, about the 2020 games, they're going to be the biggest games of all time, probably, Dwayne.
Oh, yeah. Budokan also. I have a Cheap Trick record, famous for those 70s, like the 70s rock and roll music anyway. It's going to be, they're always the biggest game of all time. They always get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know, that's an issue that we talk about. And we should mention that if you're new to this show. We love the Olympics. We both love the Olympics, clearly. It's a passion of mine, has been since I discovered them back in 1984 as a little boy. My mom bought me a little book and a little Canadian flag, and I sat there, you know, transfixed by what was happening in LA, and it helped the Canada win a whole lot of Olympic medals back then. I didn't care that the Eastern Bloc wasn't there, but we're not, we bring a journalistic eye to it, though. We're not going to fluff over issues that relate to the Olympics, and one of our topics that we've talked a lot about in our older shows is sort of the ballooning size of the Olympics and whether we need to change how we're bidding for games and how we're putting games on in terms of venue selection and so on and so forth. We've been advocates for downsizing venues and not having to have, you know, we enjoy the big ones and we enjoy the pretty stuff, but we want to recycle venues. We want to use historic sites, even if they might have a little bit of dust on the chairs, if they might need a coat of paint, paint a coat, as we said once, and kept it as a sort of inside joke since then. So yeah, we don't fluff it over. This is a show not for just, oh, the Olympics all good or the Olympics all bad, which I think often when Olympic coverage happens, it frustrates me as someone who loves them. It, you know, you hear it either way. It's either nothing but joy and love and harmony and all the stuff that proponents of the Olympics like to talk about, or it's like doom and gloom that, you know, there's people out there that, the Olympics should go away. It's like, no, we got to find a way for them to survive in a way that makes sense.
To exist,
not just
dismiss
them outright.
Exactly. No, and those will all become topics of conversation in the next weeks, of course. We're starting the show with like a reintroduction to what we do. And as you can see, since the last time you've seen us or heard us, technology has gone a long way. You can see now we're in HD on a nice little studio where you can see what the Olympic Stadium might look like in Tokyo. We're like in the press box view, so you have a little interesting view when you watch us on video. New logo, new music, and a new outlook on what we do. And I am looking forward to interviewing athletes. Since the last Olympics we have done, Nona and I have continuing to meet people and to be able to create some friendship and a network of contacts, and we'll have interviews leading up to the games, and that's really fascinates me too. And of course, we'll start by saying, if you like what we do, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. It really goes a long way. It helps us to be able to create more and more content, and there'll be exclusive content as well during the games, before the games, for Five Rings listeners. We're working out the details. In November, we'll have more announcement leading up to what we're going to do in 2020 regarding many multiple major, I would say, sporting events around the world. The European Championship, there's a Tour de France, there's a lot of things that I am working on, Dwayne's working on, and a lot of things we're working on together for 2020. So in November, make sure you listen to us, but please consider supporting us if you like what we do. And weekly, for sure, for free, the Five Rings podcast, at least one episode a week, will drop in your feeds.
Precisely, yeah. You mentioned those major events, two upcoming huge ones in the World Cup of Basketball, and obviously the Athletics World Championships in September in the Middle East. So those will be two topics that we hear on the weekly show leading up to that November change that we keep alluding to. More details on that soon. As you say, Patreon really does help us out. $2 a month or more, you do get one show right now for that. With that, it has to do with our soccer side, and a lot of the listeners do understand this, but some do not. We do cover North American soccer, you know, soccer with or football, the world of football with a soccer perspective is the tagline. So if you follow that little wink there, you'll get what we are. So you do get one free show for that. We'll look at different ways to add value for our Olympic subscribers. We do appreciate them. And some of our biggest and longest subscribers are fans of the Five Rings. So it is a real valuable thing to bring on here. And as I said, it's a show that I love, and it's a movement that I love, and I'm happy to have it back, Kevin. And I don't know what more to say in that regard, but other than I'm just happy to be back, and I hope that some of our loyal listeners that stuck with us through the long, long dark times of no sound, no Five Rings, understand that we had to establish our lives and find a way to do it. But we figured out a schedule that I think is going to work, and here we are.
Let's talk about the upcoming Olympics. The 2020 Summer Olympics, officially known as the Games of the 32nd Olympiad, or commonly known as Tokyo 2020, is going to happen from July 24th, 2020, to Sunday, August 9th, 2020. Opening ceremony on the 24th and closing ceremony on August 9th. That would be very fun to watch. I can only imagine, Dwayne. I can only dream of the amount of technologically spectacular show that is literally the Japanese and Tokyo is going to put for us on this opening ceremony. It should be spectacular. It should be mindful. It should be respectful. This is one of the opening ceremonies that I'm actually looking forward to for a long time. We knew Pyeongchang was going to be emotional, of course, with the unification of the two Koreas for the duration of the games, sporting-wise, and for other reasons, too. The Beijing one will be interesting for other reasons in 2022, but the Tokyo ones, I'm literally looking at them without reservations, and that is a good change.
Yeah, one of my favorite Winter Games, of course, is 98, which was in Japan. So we do have a recent memory of what it might look like, and certainly we can draw upon that, although as recent as 20 years ago now. My God, how time flies, eh? At any rate, but certainly those games will give us a bit of a hint. And in Tokyo, like, I'm a big Olympic history guy. I mean, I mentioned my mother by, I mean, that little book as a boy, it fed a real interest in reading and absorbing sports information for me. And I've read a lot of Olympic history books, and the original Tokyo Olympics do have sort of represent a flip from the more like the sort of modern era, the more they call them modern Olympics in general, but the more modern era, I'll call it for lack of a better term right now, started kind of in Tokyo. And a lot of iconic athletes that we know and love through the 70s and 80s came out of those games as well. So they were a big deal originally, a big spectacle originally, and they'll obviously be only bigger and better now. So it's great. There's a lot of, obviously, you know, you mentioned the bigger part of it, and we keep saying bigger and bigger and bigger, and as sports fans, we love that. Tokyo is a massive city, as we know, and they can handle games of these size. We, you know, can debate whether or not other cities can't, and certainly the city that I'm sitting in has bid for two Olympic Games unsuccessfully, bid for more than two games unsuccessfully, but has talked about it many, many times, and it does seem now that the local population collectively has decided that it's too big and too expensive to try and bid forward. We've seen other countries do the same. Kevin sits in a city which will never bid for another game, I doubt, because of the cost involved in the one that they had in 1976. So it's, you know, which they think they paid the big O off just before the Five Rings podcast
started.
Debuted.
So, yeah, like somewhere in 2013. So, yeah. But what I think is fascinating too, and I'll transition to the Olympic venues here, is the ideology of the two separate zone plus the six venues that are outside the two main zone, with the Olympic Village in the middle. You have the Heritage Zone, which has comparts the old and, I would say, venues that were present for the 64 games and that are being reused or rebuilt, including the Olympic Stadium and the Olympic Ceremony, or that will take place. And you have the Tokyo Bay Zone, where is a reappropriate territory that the Japanese government took over and rebought from owners, peers, to create the Olympic Village and also to create what could be the future of what Tokyo could look like after the games. And you have a lot of venues in that Tokyo Bay Zone as well. I think the ideology of not stressing one part of town but putting it at two, with kind of like a transitional pathway between the two where the Olympic Village would be, is a good way to not encumbersome the entirety of Tokyo. And because of the massive sprawl of Tokyo, having the majority of the venues in those two areas might not be such a hassle for the rest of the residents of Tokyo, but we're still way too early to know the impact for said residents.
Yeah, Tokyo is such a massive city, as I said. Separating with the games, the model towards a single area, that kind of started like in extreme measures in Sydney in 2000, where they had this one single place that everyone went to watch pretty much 90% of the activities, only like sailing and things like that that can't be held in a contained area. We're sort of outside that. And you saw that become the model that was required for a while. But as I said, as costs continue to increase, and when you think about, you know, security issues as well, having one single area does actually make it more expensive to secure, because everyone knows that that's the area to target, right? Separating things out makes it a little bit easier, and it makes it, I think, it's a sensible way to do it. As I've said in the show before, Kevin, I'm an advocate of separating it even more extreme. I'm happy with multiple cities hosting or even multiple countries eventually. So this kind of model for a setup in a single city, as a city the size of Tokyo, makes perfect sense to me, and it's a sensible way to do it. And you have, as I said, the recycling of the old venues, but obviously rushed up a little bit and modernized. But But it adds, I think it's nice that way. I like the tie-in. So to be, you know, and on this spot in 1964, we'll hear stuff like that. And I think that adds a little to the spectacle as well. And oh, what a spectacle it is. The summer games are so big, Kevin. Oh my God, I'm going to need to take a nap for a month before they start for us to do this. But it's going to be fun.
It is going to be very, very fun. And one thing that makes it fun is the different sports that are at the 2020 Olympic Games. And there's a few new sports. So, Dwayne, here's a little exercise that we're going to do. Of course, we're going to go deeper and we'll have previews closer to the games. And we'll look at the venues, too. There's a few venues that are fascinating to me. I mentioned the Budokan for its history in boxing and pro wrestling. In sumo, in concert, you mentioned. And Ric Flair won championships at the Budokan. So that's how impressive that is. But games of football at the Sapporo Dome, the Saitama Super Stadium, that's going to be fascinating. Baseball at the Fukushima Baseball Center is going to be fascinating. But one of the great, great venue who's going to host one of the most sought-after ticket, I believe, during the 2020 Olympic Games, the Tokyo Metropolitan Gymnasium, where the table tennis competition will take place. That will be a hot ticket in Tokyo.
Sure, it absolutely will, as well, of course, the martial arts, you know, sports that are important, and in a sport that is particularly important to the Japanese people and to us as well. If you listen to Bill Five Rings, is the return, and you mentioned it earlier, of the bat and ball sports, and they are desperately needed. We were very critical of the IOC removing them from the platform in the early days of the Five Rings. I thought it really represented, it was a glaring example of their Euro focus is what it was.
True.
Because bat and ball sports, whether they be cricket or whether they be baseball, and cricket, of course, not in the games,
no.
And it should be.
It should be. I agree. After watching the Cricket World Cup this summer, I agree with you. Cricket should be there because it came home. The World Cup came home, came back to England.
Well, yeah, and more to the point, though, it is so massively popular in a part of the world that is kind of underrepresented, and that being the subcontinent of India and Pakistan and that area there. So there is a real need for that sport to come in. And there is a real need for the IOC to be more open their eyes a little bit more to sports. Just because it's not popular in Europe doesn't mean it's not popular in vast swaths of the rest of the world, and baseball certainly represents that, and I'm glad to see it back. A lot of people suspect that it will be only for one games. That would be unfortunate if that's the case, but at least we do get another shot at it, and hopefully some ability to get these games in. I've mentioned this a few times, it's a theme, the ballooning size of it. I think, Kevin, I'll just put it out there, my answer to that is that if you had multiple sites, you could have more games involved and you could have more athletes involved. And
you can have cricket.
Sports are popular enough.
Oh, you only need one or two cricket grounds. It's not like you're gonna have 100 teams, right? Even in the Cricket World Cup, there was 10 teams. You can even make the Olympic tournament a bit more exclusive if you want. Put 6 teams or 8 teams. You have a round-robin tournament or something. And it works. It's not too bad. And it would have been popular. Let's go through the sports themselves. And let's just, judge our level of excitement. We're not going to mention names, not say who's going to be the contender. That's not what today is about. Today is about the romantic idea of the Olympic Games and how we view the following 33 type of sports maybe that we can expect in the Olympics: swimming, diving, synchronized swimming, water polo, all grouped together in the aquatics category. Of course, this is one of the big draw of a Summer Olympic Games: the pool, the swimming. Maybe the second biggest sought-after ticket after the 100-meter final is the 50-meter final at the swimming pool. But how are you looking at this aquatics competition? What's your excitement level?
Well, it's always, they represent the first week of the games to me, so it's fresh. And, as much as I like track and field, or athletics as it's called most of the world, it always represents the second half of the games, and I get a little sad when it starts because it means it's half over. I have really weird issues when it comes to the Olympics. The second week depresses me a little.
You're like, it's almost over already, and I have to wait 2 more years or 4 to get the exact same sports. I agree.
Yeah.
And water polo is always fascinating to watch. I wish we had more underwater cameras to really, truly get a feeling of what this sport's all about. But if that would be the case, imagine VAR, Dwayne. Imagine VAR in water polo with underwater camera. How many red cards there would be at the Olympics?
Yeah, fair enough. Certainly a sport that's not as popular as part of the world. So a Canadian team just qualified. So there you go. We don't. That's another thing I should mention real quick is we are Canadian. But we do focus on the Canadian athletes a bit more than the rest, but we do try and take a global look. If you're listening from outside of this country, we do not ignore other sports for sure. We're trying to be a global show, but at any rate, yeah, look, the swimming, it's so important for the momentum of a team. If you want to think about it in terms of teams rather than individual athletes, in terms of countries having, successes piling onto one another. And I actually believe that is a phenomenon that happens. I've heard athletes talk about being in the athlete's village and watching other athletes, whether they be Canadian, whether they be American, whether they be Panamanian, whatever, win, and being inspired by that and pushing a little bit further. How much that actually affects, who knows, a statistician or some kind of sports psychologist could figure that out. But I do see sort of that momentum build within teams, certainly within teams of the same sport, right? So last Olympics, to make this Canadian-centric again, the Canadians, although had really done dreadful in the pool for multiple Olympics in a row, and it'd been a real kind of bummer for the coverage and everything else to start, because it's such a focus, frames so much the first week of the coverage that you see. And that's another thing too. I mean, the Olympics are ultimately the biggest TV show every 2 years, right? So it's a big part of our coverage is talking about how the coverage shapes things.
Well, which is fascinating, too, because of where you are in the world. If the famous American way to show the Olympics, which is not live on TV and just like a wrap-up show at night or something, we've talked about this issue for a few games and probably will do so again in Tokyo. Just to continue on the sports quickly, there's going to be archery, badminton. We don't need to talk to that. It's going to be fun. Baseball, so like every sport, sometimes we complain or whine, but we're going to watch everything. I'm going to watch equestrian. I'm going to watch dressage, to a throwback to Oli, a friend of the show that we had on the show a few Olympics ago. Basketball is going to be fascinating. Hopefully Canada will be there. I don't know. We'll see. It depends. Boxing is always fascinating because you get a glimpse of the future professional boxing, and that's fun. Canoe, kayak, Dwayne, I like especially the kayak aspect, the down the river type of kayak, because it's fascinating, it's beautiful to watch, it's spectacular, it's man-made type of rivers that are actually fun. Canoe, because, well, Canada does well usually, so it's another event that I love to watch.
Yeah, the rowing sports, the paddle sports are of strength in the part of the world that we're in. So they do get a lot of focus on the coverage that we do get. And we're always, as I say, they're framing a lot of our days. So we talk a lot about them. It's fun too. Anything, the simplicity. I think what I love most, I love sports, as anyone knows, but I love all sports. But there's something great about the gun go off, go to a line kind of aspect of a lot of Olympic sports. Yeah. And you certainly see those in flatwater paddling.
Well, another sport, Dwayne, that we see a gun and right off the line is cycling. And Olympic cycling, the road, the track, the mountain bike, the BMX. BMX is new to me. Even mountain is kind of new to me. The strategy and tactics that I'm aware from the track and the road do exist on the mountain bike and BMX, and I'm looking forward to getting a bit more knowledge on the latter too. But the track, the omnium, the carrying it, the sprint, it's fascinating to watch once you get the gist of it, and you see the power generated by the athletes in the sprint of a track. It's massive. The road race is fascinating. The one race out of 4 years that you can say you won and you keep the title for 4 years. Even the world champion every year, Dwayne, doesn't get to keep the title of world champion for more than a year. So world champion, like Olympic champion in the road race of the Olympic cycling event, is a massive sought after victory, and it's going to be a massive as well race. The heat in Tokyo is going to be one of the big topics. It's going to be about 35 to 40 degrees Celsius with humidity during the Olympic Games. And it is going to be affecting athletes, and we'll see how the athletes perform. But cycling, to me, Dwayne, is one of my favorite events. You mentioned You mentioned the swimming and the athletics, track and field. For me, cycling is a big part of my joy. Like, I'm excited for every single day of the Olympics. But the one day of the Olympic road race, I'm going to be one of the guys who watch the cycling feed for the 4 hours of the race to analyze it and probably write articles about it next year. And it's a fascinating way because it's exactly what you said. Everyone's at the line. There's the start. And who's going to finish first? And between the two, over 200 kilometers of riding.
Exactly. And obviously men's and women's as well. In both 2 days, you'll be watching those, is what I'm saying. Look, I mean, Kevin, we bring Kevin on, Kevin, for his cycling coverage. Kevin, even, you know, maybe down the line, we'll have his cycling show come back on this network. You never know, patreon.com. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of fun. And I enjoy, one of my joys of the Olympics, conversely, is listening to Kevin talk about cycling because it teaches me about the sport that I don't know as much about. And, we weren't covering the London Games, unfortunately. They were one of my favorite games of all time, and cycling played such a major role in that, such a major storyline in that. And so I think a lot of people, because of those London Games, got to learn a lot more about cycling and have become a huge cycling fan. And we also, I do know for a fact, have a lot of UK listeners to the Five Rings. So,
yeah.
So we will be giving it a lot of attention during the games for sure.
Exactly. Equestrian, fencing, of course, football, soccer is going to be a big focus of us during the tournament, but probably we'll move more of the soccer talk for soccer today as well. It'll be a big topping point during the Olympics on our sister show or the flagship show of the Sports Podcast Network, Soccer Today. Golf for me is fascinating because no one cared about the golf tournament in Rio. How will people feel about the Tokyo golf tournament? That is interesting. Gymnastics. Simone Biles going after record. That's going to be amazing. Handball, though, is always fun. Hockey, which is field hockey, but it's only hockey for the rest of the world. For us, it's ice hockey, I guess. But karate. Six kumite, two kata categories. The karate for the first time in the Olympics in Tokyo, the birthplace of karate, some would say, which it is. So, yeah, that's going to be at the Budokan. That's going to be spectacular. Maybe not TV, like maybe it doesn't translate well to TV, but everything. But full contact karate tournament at the Olympics, that's going to be sick.
And obviously highly associated with the host country, and which is why it is making its debut here. I'm always like to watch the new sports, as many people do, and karate making its debut, a combat sports. Every time the games have been in Asia, they've added a martial art, which, is, I guess that's one way to get into the games. You mentioned golf. A nice little trivia question for those who know me. A great irony. My most retweeted interactive with tweet of all time was not a soccer tweet. It was a golf tweet from the last Olympics. It got retweeted by a few of the golf writers in the UK and blew my phone up. Put 750 retweets. So there you go.
Wow, that's a lot. Some people would pay for that amount of retweets. Looking at the modern pentathlon is always fascinating. We always have as well some Canadian in there. Rowing, Canada's good, but the rest of the world, and of course England, is Great Britain. I should say
it's the first world sport.
It's a very first. It's an empire sport, if you know what I mean. Rugby sevens, that's always fascinating. Sailing, shooting, skateboarding making its debut in street and park skating. Yay! That's one of the sports where, of course, I remember back when I was a kid watching TSN or the French version in Canada, RDS in Quebec, watching the X Games and all those things, and was really getting into it, playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater on my PlayStation 1, you know. Yes, I'm old. So maybe I'm going to get into the skateboarding. Maybe it is for me after all. I had my doubts, but hey, why not? At least if baseball's in, so I'm okay. And wrestling's going to be back, but we'll finish with wrestling. But maybe I'm going to discover skateboarding.
I am terrible at skateboarding. I've tried it a few times in my life and fallen on my ass in 2 seconds. It's not much for me physically, but they're incredibly athletic. The core strength skateboard at that level is off the charts and is absolutely world-class. I am not a curmudgeon, believe it or not. I am not yelling at clouds when it comes to the Olympics. I fully embrace new sports coming in. I accept that no sports sometimes can buzz it. I don't ideally want to lose sports from the program, but I recognize that maybe if the participation drops to a certain level, that has to happen. I fully embrace the idea that new sports should come in because the world evolves and sports evolves, and skateboarding is massively popular. Yeah. Competitive skateboarding, not so much, but that's only because there hasn't been the visual to it. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, when snowboarding entered, speaking of the last times the games were in Japan, when snowboarding came on the program in those games in 98. You know, Rosagato, the dweeb guy. That's, we all know all that stuff.
Ross Ribaliati.
Certainly that was when the snowboarding debuted. And I remember talking to snowboarders who, it was a very counterculture sport at the time that was, you know, sort of like us versus the skiers and us versus the man type thing. And they didn't, a lot of them embraced the idea that it was going into the Olympics because they viewed it as a mainstream of their sport. But now no one would ever imagine a world without snowboarding in the Olympics because it's such a popular activity. And it has completely blown that sport up even more. It has put more athletes into it in a competitive nature, and it has been a win-win. I mean, snowboarding, you know, slope style and things like that are highlights of the Winter Games now, and I am positive that skateboarding is going to very quickly become one of the big TV focuses of Olympics moving forward.
Yeah, it's right. You're right. It may be more TV friendly. Sport climbing making its debut too. There's a couple of different type of climbing. Bouldering, which is climbing a rock or a big rock problem, which is you have to go on top. And you have speed climbing, which is one thing, and lead climbing as well. You got surfing, men and women shortboard surfing at the Shita Point. Table tennis, which I've talked to, is going to be a massive tournament. Great competition, and the atmosphere in that venue is going to be amazing. Same for taekwondo. The tennis tournament is always interesting. Hard court this time around in Tokyo. Track and field, of course, is the queen event, I would say. I mean, if not the king event, it's the same. The queen event of the Olympic Games, Dwayne, 100 meters, with maybe a Canadian as a contender, but maybe it's not the Canadian that we expect.
True enough. I think that Canadian might be a bigger contender in the 200 meter, which is what we've always said. And more important for us Canadian folk, if you look at the speed on the Canadian track and field team right now, they might be a contender in that 4x1, which remains one of my happiest Olympic memories of all time. And that's another thing we'll talk about in these shows in the days ahead. We'll reminisce and do countdowns or top threes of, of our favorite this and that. And I think we've done it before. We did our all-time favorite Canadian moments, and mine was to win the gold medal in 1996 4x1. When Donovan Bailey turned that last corner and he was clearly miles ahead of the American, I was in a room full of screaming camp children who just lost their mind, and made it a very memorable moment for me. And it is one of my favorites, if not my most favorite of all time, Olympic moments. So, yeah, all those memories and more are coming in just a year's time.
I wish I could meet Camp Monitor, Dwayne. That would be a fun conversation. But anyways, that's for another day. Triathlon is always fun. And when I mention the track and field, we always follow closely the race walk competition. Friend of the show, Evan Dunphy. Evan. And we'll also try to get a hold of Evan before the beginning of the games and see what happens since the last time we talked to him. Across his travels around the world, his great community work as well. So that's going to be fascinating. Volleyball is always fascinating. Our friend Gavin is a volleyball maniac, and hopefully we'll get him on the show to talk about the indoor and beach volleyball competitions. Weightlifting. What excites me about the weightlifting has nothing to do with the competition itself. The officials will be wearing robotic pants and kind of like an exoskeleton type of suit to give him a lot of strength, and they'll be wearing it to move around the weight. So you'll see even maybe kids or not your most muscly or not the most strong looking person taking a 300-pound thing like it's nothing and just putting them on. That's going to be the show stealer for the weightlifting competition.
And that seems very Japanese right there.
That's very Japanese.
I'm glad to see robotics will be making a front and center look in these games. Of course, it'll draw attention away from the other unfortunate topic of conversation in most weightlifting competitions, and that's doping, and we'll have to talk a lot about that too.
I was going there anyways. I'm glad you went in first. But yeah, doping is part of weightlifting, I guess, and will be a part of the Five Rings podcast, as it has been since Sochi. And guess what? There was a lot of in Sochi. Doping.
Yes. Kevin, for those who don't know, again, our format is we do gold, silver, and bronze medals, which are our first, second, and third most, our best performances of the day. It doesn't necessarily mean they were like the most obvious. Our criteria is very open-ended for that. We each choose our own. We don't tell each other. And then we do what's called a wood medal of the day. The wood medal of the day is our biggest disappointment of the day. And halfway through the Sochi Games, Kevin, one of my wood medals back then, while I've been on the spot, was the fact that there had not been any positive drug tests, because I was pretty convinced there was something fishy about that.
And guess what?
Not to toot my own horn, but there was something fishy about that.
We were right. We were right on multiple occasions since 2014 when it comes to controversial point of the world of Olympic sports. Let's finish today's show by talking about the wrestling competition making a comeback to the Summer Olympics, Greco-Roman and freestyle. That's going to be fun. I know you need to be almost initiated to wrestling by someone who knows what they're talking about. But watching wrestling, to me, is almost like watching pure instinct. Like watching almost something visceral and a chess match at the same time. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah, I freestyle wrestled in high school, so I understand it a little bit. I could not perform anywhere close to what they do, but I do know what they're doing. So it does make it a little bit more interesting to watch. It is a sport that I watch quite closely, although it does depress me because it's at the end too. Nonetheless,
true.
Usually the wrestling gold medals are on the last day of the competition, generally speaking, because most Olympic programs follow the same schedule each time. It's such a technical sport when you know it, especially at that level. It's all about balance and counterbalance, and you know, it's very subtle stuff that you see out there. But there's no one coming off the top rope, but it is such an incredible athletic performance. The other event that's always on the last day is rhythmic gymnastics. I don't know as much about that one, but we'll talk about the ribbons too when time comes.
We usually mention it. We rarely dwell on that one. And hey, it's one of those relics of the past, I guess.
We all have biases, and I think one of our goals over the next year will be to, at least for me, Kevin, will be to give the artistic sports a little bit wider, a little bit more attention, and okay, learn a little bit more about it. I get frustrated by judging, like a lot of people do, diving is one of my favorite sports in the Olympics, which is that's more of an association, because I used to watch that with my mother. But nonetheless,
you know what
it's something I...
You want to make the diving competition really interesting? It's not about the amount of flips. You just make a pool, and on top you pour concrete, and you just make holes. And you have big holes and small holes. And if you the smaller hole you choose and able to go through without... Now, okay, maybe that's not a good idea.
No, that seems like a video game, though. That'd be a fine game.
Great mobile video game. Okay, get at me. Glue mobile or something at me.
Which maybe in 4 or 5 Olympics we'll be talking about video games in a legitimate metal way, the way that esports are blooming up. And that's another thing we do on the Five Rings in between games sometimes, is we talk about emerging sports that are outside of the Olympic platform. None of that today, but certainly look forward to that in the days ahead when we fill the programming hours in the lead up to Tokyo 2020.
Yeah, that's a good
year away, Kevin.
A year away.
52 shows. We can get there.
We can get there. I'm not even worried. And we hope you enjoy this return, the Five Rings Podcast Road to Tokyo. Thanks to VoiceOver Ben for the great new voiceover. Thanks to everyone who's still subscribed. There's like over 500 people still subscribing to the feed of the Five Rings Podcast. And this one's for you. We hope you enjoyed. And we hope that you can take time out of your day to support us on patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. More content to come in the following months, but always a weekly firing show from now on will be free for you to enjoy. And on that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Five Rings Podcast. Podcast version of the Five Rings Podcast is available anywhere you get said podcast. I just said podcast 10 times in 2 sentences. So until next time, which is next week on the Five Rings Podcast, have a great summer.